Quickly open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. I want to commence today from the book of Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to read a portion of the scriptures that's very well known. But I'm trying to bring out something slightly different from the common about it. From verse 1, we won't read everything from verse 1, but I just like to take it in context. I'm going to stop in verse 10. And my emphasis is from verses 9, is verses 9 and 10. He said, my son, verse 1, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. He said in verse 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Verse 4, I'm jumping like I told you. You do this, you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. He now says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight or direct your paths. All right, rearrange things for you so that you will find it easy to move and make progress. Verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now, please notice this, verse 9. Honor the Lord from your wealth or with your substance, if you have a King James, and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, there are two things I want to bring up from here. From verse 5, all right? And then also from verses 9 and 10. In verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, actually verse 6, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. In verse 9, it says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. And then the consequence is that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Please, let me just, like I said to you, I'm summarizing what we have been saying about the seven names of God. I always like to say from the beginning, especially for those who went off with us from the beginning. When I use the expression seven names, we are not counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We use the number 7 as that of a spiritual numerology, which stands for perfection, all right? And in which case we are saying that the name of God or the names of God are infinite. The name of God is infinite. Whichever way we want to look at it, both of them are correct. Anytime you find a situation, now listen to this carefully, God has a name he bears in that situation. Please, we must understand that. When you discover the name of God in that situation, you call upon that name, and then you are saved. That's how it is, all right? It's in the time of, let's say, financial hardship, you know, you don't call upon the God that healed thee, because when that scripture was used, it was specifically talking about bodily ailments. Are you getting my point? And that does not apply to financial difficulty. So it's important we understand the name of God in every situation. That's why it is possible for somebody to have results in a particular area of life, to get abundant results in one area. He gets to another area, he doesn't have that kind of result. You understand? The reason is because the fellow is unable to relate to the fact that God is this kind of God in that situation. There are those who don't believe God understands physics. You understand my point? Yes, they think he doesn't understand physics. So God understands Bible knowledge, Christian religious knowledge. He understands moral languages. But when you start talking dy, dx, you understand? And you start talking about the rate of change of momentum being directly proportional to the force applied, or, you understand that kind of thing. They think God gets confused. They actually think so. They don't say it. They can't say it. You know, the name God does not allow them to say it. But deep inside their hearts, they feel like there is something God does not get. When it comes to doing business, if for something God doesn't understand computer programming. Now, they don't say it with their mouth. They just, when they are doing things, it's like, no, God cannot decipher this. And because of that, it may sound funny when I'm saying like this, but the truth is that that's how a lot of people reason. And because of that, they are incapacitated in that particular area. They think that God doesn't understand this. They don't understand, that's the meaning of it. They don't understand his name in that situation. For that reason, they go through life, they struggle in that area. That same person will go to another area, and you see, it's fantastic. He will tell you that, listen, I don't fall sick. Like one of my friends will say, mosquito cannot bite me. One of my friends will say like that. And when he says it, all right, he's somebody like that, and he means it, you actually see that he doesn't get those kind of problems. Why? He tells that this is what the word of God said. Then he goes to another area, he hasn't discovered the name of God. So he does not understand, he doesn't experience the power of God. And that's why the Bible says it is those who call upon the name of the Lord that will be saved. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize. That name of God there. You must understand what God bears as a name in every situation. Okay? Now, we read the scripture. You say, why did I read it? He said that, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. All right? In verse 6. And I get down to that verse 9. It says that, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Most of the time, we teach from that verse 9. What we are trying to explain to people is that why it is important that they give financially. Some of you say, Pastor, don't go in there. You've said it again. Please don't be angry with me. I have to start again. As long as the problem is there, we have to continue solving it. You understand? And I always try to get Christians, because this matter of money is so everywhere. It pains me that it gives the Church of God a bad name. All right? It gives us a bad name. It pains me. But the truth is that we have to try and balance it. I need to emphasize it. So you see, this is how it is. We often say this because we're trying to emphasize that Christians should give. And I keep on saying it. It is important. If you are not a giver, you're a selfish person. If you're a selfish person, your faith is not strong. That's not a joke. Go read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. Okay? Christians are givers. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
However, this is what I want to bring out. I looked at this and I realized something. That the emphasis here was not on money. The emphasis here was on the first of your increase. And I explained to us before, the first. All right, what we call first fruit in the scriptures is an acknowledgement. This is actually the same thing as verse 5. That's what I'm going to bring out for you. In verse 5, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In verse 9, it says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. What the emphasis was there, actually, the spiritual substance there, was not about money. You understand my point? It was not about, in fact, they were not talking money here. They were actually talking about the fruit of the earth. Of course, which has, you can relate with it, money anyway. But what they were trying to say is this. When people will harvest, the very first thing that came from the earth, God gave them a commandment under the laws of Moses that they were supposed to take that thing in the time of harvest and go and present it before the priest. The idea behind it was that they were by that acknowledging God in that harvest. That's what I want to emphasize to you here. So when he said that, honor the Lord with the first of all your produce is amplifying verse 5. What God is looking for is not material things. God does not spend money. And he says something, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. All right? I just like to say this all the time when I get to it so as to help people understand. They say, nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your own. That then is not true. It is not true. It is not true. You can ask God for something and get it without giving him anything first. In fact, God demands you don't give him anything first. Because he said, who has given to me that he might demand back? Please don't, oh God, I have like 5 people here this evening. They have come and that thing is in their mind. All right? And I need to knock it out of your head. So you're the one keeping me here. 5 of you. Listen to me. Sounds funny, but I mean it literally. I'm not joking about it. Some people have never heard this before. They still think. I still went to preach somewhere last term. What day was it? Okay, yeah, after I finished on Tuesday. I went somewhere to preach. They just saw somebody to take offering. And as he took his microphone to collect the offering, you know this is our opportunity to be blessed. If we don't give, this is how kingdom is. This is a law. Before you can prosper the kingdom of God, I was just shaking in my chair. Say, oh God, you know, the man standing beside me. If I rush you now, Why are you lying to the people of God? He wasn't trying to deceive anybody. He was deceived himself. A lot of people don't realize it. Please, I need to be emphatic about it. The way by which we get from God is that we ask in faith with right motives. And when I say right motives, I'm not saying, no, some people don't understand motive. They think motives means that, I must say, God, you know, we want to preach the gospel. As if, you know, God is partial towards the preaching of the gospel. So they can never say, God, you know, this money, we want to preach the gospel. And God is looking. This boy thinks I was born yesterday. You know that kind of thing. You're trying to lie to me. Listen, when I say right motives, once you remove a sinful motive, the motive is right. What I mean is this. If it is like God, one brother gave me a testimony once. My wife knows what I'm talking about. You know, God helped him and he bought a nice car for himself. And when he was telling me, he said he was feeling very happy. He said that day he sat down and said, God, dress me up now. That was his prayer. That was his prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Put some shine on me. That was his prayer. He said, just said, Lord. He said, he just looked over his life. He works very hard. He's somebody I know very well. You understand? Hardworking young man. And he just sat there and said, Lord, please, dress me up now. And then something just, a thought just dropped into his mind. All right? And that was it. In a few weeks' time, he had a new vehicle. My emphasis there was that when I'm talking about right motive, the motive was not, you know, with this car, I'll be able to carry people from house to house, evangelism. And then, look, God, the Bible says he dresses the flowers of the field. Do you understand my point? He does. It's important to him that the flowers look nice. And Jesus emphasized that Solomon in all of his glory was not as well dressed as that. So God, to God, it is good that it don't look like all the troubles of the head and your the world on your head. When you are going to be looking very sad and morose, so what happened? He said, the world is not my home. Is that why, even if I'm in a hotel, do I look like this? Even though the hotel is not my home. Please, I'm emphasizing right motives. Are you getting my point? I'm emphasizing right motives. And once we just, so the right motive must not be, you know, I must pray to God. That's the right motive. Are you getting my point? It's the right motive. I'm just trying to say that that's not the only right motive. I told somebody the other day that I learned a man of God. I've told this story here before, many years ago. When I had to labor for one whole month to earn 1,000 naira. Actually, I said 1,000 just because I'm trying to make it round. The money was less. So let's just make it round. I just finished school that time. This was 1991, okay? Now, he came to preach. He said one day his wife said the most expensive, you know, attire, suit of clothes that she has was given to her by her mother. And he said to himself, what? My wife is saying that in my presence. He went and told God, did you hear that? I said, God, let's do something. That statement has to be canceled. So he prayed to God that, please, I want to cancel that statement my wife made. You will give me money so that I will ensure she can't say it again. One day, he's a preacher. One day, somebody walked up to him and said, the Lord said I should give you 50,000 naira. Now, I needed to tell you what I was earning then to let you know the value of 50,000. I just left school. I was a house officer. My salary was less than 1,000 naira a month. It's not today. Yeah, somebody gave, and he spent 25,000 naira to suit his wife up. At the end of the day, he said the rest of the money, he had no use for it. So next time he went to church, he dropped an offering basket. My story about it is that he asked God, said, let me shut this woman up from saying this kind of thing. And God saw it as a right. He wasn't competing with his neighbor. It was between him and his wife. If we have a right motive, that's what I'm going to emphasize. God answers prayers. I need to emphasize that for us. What did I say? God answers what? Prayers. He does. Okay? So, take that out of your mind, that if I don't give to God, he won't give to me. No. If I ask God in faith, he will give to me. Why do I give? Because I'm a good person. I'm like my heavenly father. I'm not wicked. It's wicked people that withhold. There is he that withholded and tended towards poverty. I'm not like that. I'm a child of God. If you're a child of God, say amen.
Amen.
Mama wanted to fly a plane or enter a bus. He went and bought a small child's ticket. Now police grab him. Why do you have a child's ticket? Say, I'm a child of God. Somebody sent me that joke yesterday. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, I just brought that one up, okay, to emphasize something again and to solve some things in the hearts of people. Please, Christians, you are givers. You should give. You should be generous. That is what God called you to be. However, that is not the basis upon which he blesses you. Because what I'm bringing out some, there's a reason. You say, what's the connection? The connection is right there. So we often think that, so this is what we need. We need to financially give to God before God can multiply. I say it all the time. It is not so. It is not so. When we want from God, we ask in faith. Ask and you shall receive, and your joy will be full. However, what is relevant of this scripture? Which is what I'm talking about. What's the relevance? He said, honor the Lord from thy substance. It's tied to verse 5. I explained to us before that the first fruits in the old covenant, the way God gave it to them, the first fruit was not your whole month's salary All right? Forget all of these ones we do in today's Christianity. I don't want to go into that now. The first fruit was an acknowledgement of the fact that that thing came from God. That was what he designed it for. So that when I increase, the first expenditure, the important thing is that's the first thing that goes there and it is spent upon. It's not as much as my first income as it is my first expenditure. That is, I'm saying that this came from God. It did not come from my labor. I am saying that this came as a blessing from the Almighty. It is not from my degree. I'm saying that it is God that sent this into my home. Any method by which he used is just what the Bible calls the hand of God. The hand of God could be that I got a job with federal government. The hand of God could be that I buy and I sell. The hand of God could be that I invested in the stock market 15 years ago, and today the stocks I bought for 5 naira, each one is worth 1,000 naira, and they are paying me so much dividends every month. That is still the hand of God. The hand of God could be that I was such a blessing to somebody, he came one day, like the man I was telling the story earlier, and the man gave me money. The hand of God could be anything. Whatever the hand of God is, I don't make an image of that thing. That's breaking the commandment of God. And don't go and teach young people, this is how to succeed in life. Sometimes people are trying to teach you how to plan for your future. I shake my head. This plan for your future that you are teaching subsequent generations is calling making an image of that which God has done in the past. And people thought it. At the end of the day, it failed for the next generation. Whatever method the Lord uses, we can't fixate ourselves on those methods. That's just a hand of God. So, what he's saying here is this, in all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him. And that's what he was emphasizing when they say, honor the Lord from the first of your increase. The idea is this, make sure you never forget that this thing came from God. And the commandment they were operating with under the old covenant was beautifully described. I'm not going to that now. You have to physically go to before the priest and recite some things when you are beginning harvest. And I gave us the example before that Jesus Christ never ate food. Never. He never ate food without giving thanks. And that was what? An acknowledgement. Please, I'm saying to you as I close this series, that what God wants from you all the time is always do what? Acknowledge him. I will explain something further in a moment. You see, you know, we're talking about the names of God. The names of God, we said, or a name of God describes his character. It describes his glory. It describes his disposition towards us as his children. There was a time Joseph was called before Pharaoh, come and interpret the dream. And then when Pharaoh told Joseph, I heard you interpret dreams, he explained simply to Pharaoh, the interpretation is with God. Are you getting my point? That is, it does not lie within me. It is a gift that I have, but it came from God. That is, our sufficiency, like Paul would say, is of God. Our ability came from God. Once I was watching Kenneth Hagin preach. This was many, many years ago. I'm telling you a story. This was when I was on campus, I think. And I remember, after it was missing in South Africa. And after he laid hands on people were getting healed and all of that. And he doesn't stop and say, who is the healer? Everybody will say, Jesus. You know, he just recites those things, you understand, that he must not take any glory unto himself. I said to us before, there are two situations in life in which we call upon the name of God. One, in the time of trouble. Two, in the time of thanksgiving. Both of them are very important. Very, very important. That is, anytime, let me say this again. Be careful how you respond to situations in life. Your words are going out and they are saying things about you. They are calling things towards you and repelling things away from you. They say Ebola virus. It entered town. How do you respond? You get my point? It is a time of trouble. What you do is call upon the name of the Lord. It doesn't mean you stand outside and just be shouting, hey, God, help us, oh, help us, oh. That's not what it means. You have not called upon the name of the Lord. You haven't, if that's all you did. What do you do? Like I told you, I was saying on Tuesday, I called a friend of mine, he's in Lagos, and that's where the thing hits in Nigeria. How are you coping? He said, we have drawn the bloodline. That was his response. Another person I heard, I was disappointed. I felt like, you know, I feel like freaking him, say, will you stop that nonsense? He was, of course, this is what a lot of people do. I don't understand this kind of country. This country is very nonsense. In the airport, why did they not have a strategy for making sure people didn't come into the country? We're in trouble in this country. That is giving the name of the Lord to a vain thing. There was another believer there, and we raised our voice and said, look, forget that one. God is still, you understand? We put our foot down. But that's what we don't realize. We're talking about calling upon the name of the Lord. When I heard that, I said, listen, death is a spirit. And it recognizes boundaries. You getting my point? That's it. That our God controls life. With Jesus Christ is the power of life and death. That's it. What I've said is that Ebola, behave yourself. I said to you before, that I heard somebody teach, and it's so true. In fact, when I heard it, we discussed it during our school of prayer, that when Jesus rebuked the wind, Jesus didn't just say, of course, the Bible said that he said, peace be still. But somebody analyzed that scripture and said that when he said he rebuked the wind, that it wasn't just the word rebuke had to do with his attitude and the manner in which he addressed the wind. It was like, who's talking? Will you be quiet? You are trying to do what? To who? What gave you the impression you had the power to topple this boat? Are you getting my point? Yeah. So, you know, it's a rebuking attitude. It wasn't just the words. Many people want to rebuke what they are afraid of. The heart is afraid. The rebuke is just talk. That's what I'm going to emphasize. When we're talking about calling upon the name of the Lord, something like that comes up instantly. And that's my message for today, actually. What you do is to magnify God. Let me say it again. What you do is to do what? Magnify God. Listen, when David said, magnify the Lord with me. Listen, you know, God in himself, you cannot increase him. You know that as a person. You can't. If you could, there is not the biggest there is today. That means he's not the most high. If you can grow higher, you are currently not the most high. Yes, now, because you and then you won't be the same yesterday, today, and forever. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why God cannot, there's nothing you do that can improve God. But when David says, magnify the Lord, it has to do with your own life. When we're talking about magnifying God, literally make him bigger in your life. To magnify something means to expand the scope. Increase the aspect of your life he covers. I hope you're following what I'm saying. He does not only cover your life in church. He covers your health. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of Ebola infection, I will fear no infection, for the Lord is with me. You're getting my point? That's what it means to magnify him. Magnify God means talk more about him than you do about your problems. Think about it. Once, you know, I traveled somewhere, one of the eastern state capitals. Some of my seniors picked me up. I won't tell you where. And we're just driving in the car. And I realized that it struck me that Nigerians can complain. It just struck me that Nigerians can complain. That human beings, not Nigerians now. Human beings. He said, can you see? Look at all this. I don't want to give you details, all right? And if we're in this car for 15 minutes, I heard all the troubles of the state. How useless the governor is. Of course, every Nigerian governor is useless apart from the governor in the other state. You know that kind of thing. That's how we look at it. You get my point? Uh-huh. Everything is, this one is bad. What's wrong with them? That's how we talk. And I realize that is what we do most of the time. I know what we're doing. We're magnifying the problems. I have never seen a good president in Nigeria who's in office. It's usually when he has gone. You've not noticed? When Obasanjo was in office, he was the most useless man as far as most people were concerned. The moment he left, people were wishing he stayed back. Why did we not vote for the third term agenda? Can you imagine, under Obasanjo, this would not have happened. Under Obasanjo, this would not have happened. Well, while he was in office, everybody was saying, go better for you, wait. That was what we did every day. Then he leaves office. Just wait. Jonathan's tenure will be over. The people will sit down. What did we not, I still remember. Oh, God in heaven. Even my hospital there, when my former CMD was in power, complain. As soon as he left, one thing I like about that former CMD, as soon as he left, That's why the Bible says it's not wisdom to say the former times were better than now. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. That's what people do all the time, complain. Now, let me say another thing. We always have those reasons to complain. No, it's not as if we don't make them up. We don't make them up. In fact, if you see the area where people will tell me that my former CMD is better than the present one in certain areas, they are not lying. We always have reasons to complain. And it's not as if those reasons are imagined. But you see, the more you complain about something, the bigger it becomes. The more prominent it becomes in your life. I'm about to slip into the marriage thing again. If you complain about your spouse a lot, he or she becomes worse, at least in your eyes. Yes, that's a matter of fact. The more you complain, and what happens is that you take an area of life. Now, this is how you magnify things. Listen to this. Any area of life you take and speak a lot about is magnified. Do you hear what I said? For example, you are in a house, and then the roof is leaking. And you talk about that leaking roof every day. Your blood pressure will go up slightly. Do you understand my point? Yes, it goes up a little. You become unhappy with the house. Yeah, you'll be very unhappy with the house. Now, all the other good things about the house, they won't make you happy until you talk about them. What I've told you is a matter of fact. This is sound principle of life. Those things are there. You work in a place right now. Start complaining. You will hate that job. When you wake up in the morning, you are angry. If all you do is talk about the problem becomes so big, they control your emotions. Now, the problem itself has not increased in size, though. It's the same size, though. I hope you're following what I'm saying. It's the same size. But it controls your emotion. It controls your disposition, I wanted to say. Your disposition to the people that work there. It controls how you make decisions concerning that workplace. And no matter how beautiful the other things there, no matter how beautiful they are, they don't affect you much because you don't talk about them. Did you hear what I said? Yes. What I've told you, please note it. That's a matter of fact. People have gotten up, resigned from fantastic jobs in anger. And people say, what on earth made you do it? Because the fellow came out, there's nothing else to do. Why? Because before that day, all he or she did was complain. Therefore, he magnified the problems. And then the problems took hold of him or her and started helping him make decisions. I told a story once on CNN, this was many years ago, I watched Christian Amanpour follow the story of a young man who killed a young black boy at the age of 17 or thereabouts, 17, 18. He killed an elderly white man for nothing. This was in the state of Texas. They caught him, tried him, found him guilty. All his friends testified against him. They didn't lie. It was the truth. They found him guilty and then sentenced him to death. He was tried as an adult at the age of 17 and they sentenced him to death. And Christian Mampo followed that thing until they executed him and we saw his corpse. Okay? Now, the young man was interviewed. And he said something which is, in fact, I remember the story all the time because like Solomon would say, I took instruction. The boy said, why did I do it? He said, till now, I don't know. Why did he kill that young white man? He said, at the time they were talking, he was on death row, was being interviewed by Christian Amanpour of CNN. He said, I don't know. Will I say it's my friend? He said, it's not possible because I am the leader in the pack. Are you getting my point? It could not have been my friends. Is it my parents? No. My parents don't do such things. Why did I do it? The boy said, I don't know. It was just an evening. I think they just finished graduating from school or something. And they were just out partying. And one of them said, let's steal a car. Either he or somebody said, let's steal a car. They just saw a 190 Mercedes-Benz driving past. This man and his wife, they went to visit their children and grandchildren. They were coming back home. They chased after the car, stopped them, he dragged the man out and fired. His friends were shocked. And he shouted to the friend that he should shoot the woman. And they're like, what? For what? Now, you know why I'm telling the story? Because it made me think. The boy said, I don't know why I did it. He died for it. I believe it was the Holy Spirit gave me understanding. He said, you know why he did it? It's a typical American problem. It's a young black boy. And very common in the, now, listen, like I told you before, what we complain about, it's not as if they are not there. We didn't imagine them. They are present. But the more we talk about them, the more we do what? Magnify them. This is what I think happened. And I really believe that's what happened, really. He was a good boy. But in their house, you know, if you talk to the typical American black, and yeah, they are not lying. These guys are literally discriminated against. It's not a joke. They know. It's a matter of fact. But I just, in my mind, I started seeing their home. How every day, the father will explain the injustices that have been done to them by the whites. How he'll go to school and he'll hear it. And he will listen to people like Notorious B.I.G. because it was long ago. Tupac. And they would say all those hateful words about the white man. And then one day, he got a white man under his hands, under his power. He did not know when he killed the man. Why? What he magnified controlled his life. That's what I'm telling the story. Listen, what you magnify controls your life. You wake up every morning, you dwell on the problems of the society. You see, we've seen this a lot of times. You see, a young man has a very good job. Good. His wife has a good job. They have two beautiful children. Then the man gets a one day. Now, these days, getting fake visas is more difficult. But those are just giving one visa, they go from somewhere. And he will liquidate his whole life and disappear to America. He will leave a beautiful job. His wife will leave a beautiful job. And the children go there. And they start struggling. And you don't hear them from there for 5 years. Why? Life is hard. Sometimes you wonder, why did they take that kind of decision? It's simple. Every day went to work. What is this country coming to? Potholes everywhere. In fact, when I went to my mechanic, he told me my shock absorber was bad. I said, why should the shock absorber be bad? These shock absorbers are new. I bought them just like 8 years ago. Why should they be bad? I already said 8 years ago, you know. Because we just keep on emphasizing the problems. So the person complains. Of course, as soon as power goes off, that's the problem. That is why manufacturing left Nigeria and went to Ghana. That's why manufacturing left Nigeria and went to Lesotho. And that's why manufacturing left Nigeria that's gone to the Atlantic Ocean. Can you believe it? Now we can't manufacture. How can you manufacture in a country like this? It is not possible. The mosquito bite, you see? The drainage in our compound is not working. That's why these mosquitoes are breeding and they are breeding. And they've been breeding and breeding. Look at, they are growing in size now. There's been mutation of the mosquitoes ever since we moved. What is going on? Then they pay him 2 days late. This is the problem. If he's an American, they'll have sued the company. And the company will have had to pay fine for paying 2 days late. I don't understand. And this guy is well paid. This lady is well paid. Now, you go, as the fellow is moving around, he's angry. You don't realize it. What you have been magnifying, that's my emphasis. That's what controls your life. That's how it is. It's what you magnify. But if the same person would just stop and think, that's why I said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And don't forget any of his benefits. Listen to me. Anytime God says, don't do this, the opposite is natural. Did you hear what I said? If God says, do this, the opposite is natural. When he says, don't forget his benefits become so usual and regular, we forget the benefit. The benefits become so usual and regular, we don't remember it's a benefit. And let me say something to you. There is one fellow called the accuser of the brethren. He is literally an enemy of your soul. He hates you. So he is very good at sitting down there and telling you all the negative things about life. What I've said is a matter of fact. If that same fellow would have sat down and said simply, as he's going to ask in the morning, Lord, I thank you, I have a place to go in the morning. I thank you, I'm productive. I thank you, I'm blessing somebody's life. I thank you, I have income. Okay, power has gone off. Please start my small generator. Oh Lord, I forgot to mention. Thank you that I have that generator. Lord, thank you that there's fuel to put in it. Lord, look, if you continue like that, they will not, to extract you from that point and go somewhere else to be difficult. What you magnify controls your life. So he said, David said it to us like this, magnify the Lord with me. What it means is this. What do I mean by magnify? It's simple. Talk about him all the time. Interpret everything in life in the light of God. Ah, I need to say this again. This is Africa. At least this is Nigeria. This is Enugu. I don't know how it is somewhere else. Do you know that Christians magnify witches and curses all the time? Yes, they do. I told you about a church organizing an annual witch killing conference. Annual. Annual. Every year, children of God will gather to kill witches. Oh, I went to preach in Ondo the other day. I told you guys. That was about 2 Saturdays ago. I wasn't around. Inka and I went to Ondo to preach. I sat in the church. I heard the pastor share word briefly. The choir girl came up to lead, one of the choir leader, to lead the song. Then I preached for some days. Then it struck me I had not used the word witch once inside their church. I had not heard it. I suddenly stopped. I said, hey, I have not talked about witches here. I said, obviously in this church, you guys don't bother about them. The man shook his head. We don't. Do you know, without realizing it, I don't know whether I get my point. Without realizing it, I went in there, preached, and did not refer to it one time. Why? The man didn't magnify such nonsense. You know, when I'm preaching something, I tell you that it pains me, I have to say it. But because people hear the opposite so much, you have to help people. You have to. They magnify curses. Maybe there's a curse in your life. You know, the thing makes me laugh. Enter the tune television. Tonight, every curse. That is 30 minutes describing curses. You know what you have done? You are magnifying them. You think you are breaking them. I am charging you today. If you are a preacher and you behave like that, you are magnifying the curses. Under the old covenant, you notice something? The word devil or Satan was scarce. Yeah, very, very scarce. Very scarce. Even in the New Testament, it was not too much that was said about it. Let me talk about the Old Testament briefly. How did they still have victory? How did they still win in life? How? It's simple. The more you magnify God, the more the other guy diminishes. That's just the way it is. The more you magnify God, the more the other fellow diminishes. Thank God Job was not a Christian of today. If he heard that that's Satan, if Job mistakenly knew there was, you know, he would have fought and fought and fought and fought, and he would not have won. Do you know why? The battle was not about how much of Satan he could fight. The battle was how to hold up his integrity before his God. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. Yeah. And if you go and check it, when Eli was going to speak, I thought he was going to give a good logic, all right, to counteract all the things that Job said. But Eli did, go and check it, all he did was to describe God. Where were you when he made this? He was the God that this one. He was the one that closed the mouth of Leviathan. He was the one that this is, the God that said this. He described God for a long time and then he kept quiet. I said, Job, shut up, what do you know? And God said that Elihu has spoken what is right concerning me. You know what we do as Christians? These days, Nigeria of 2014, in case you are listening to this in 2020, by which time we will have repented, I preach this message in 2020, 2014, where it's a plague in the society. People gather on Sundays. They go for major programs, pursuing witches, pursuing curses, talking about it all the time. Their children grow up afraid rather than confident. What you magnify controls your life. So David said, magnify the Lord. David said, magnify the Lord. I started today's message by picking from there, that Proverbs chapter 3. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And I said, there is a name he bears all the time. You know, I mentioned this to you last time, that somebody sent me a text. And I saw an interesting name of God, Genesis chapter 16. Let's just read it so that you understand what I'm talking about. I was saying to you earlier, if they shout for you, hey, Ebola virus, Lassa fever, whatever it is, your immediate response must be to do what? Magnify God. And listen, I believe very strongly many of these news media, they are satanic. What they are trying to do is to have you respond the way they respond. Listen, life is a battle of what? Always utter words that show what God is in that situation. I won't describe the name of God. That translation is God who keeps me through the valley of the shadow of death so that I fear no evil. That's the name. He is the Lord who uttered a word and confirms the word that no evil shall befall me and none shall come near my dwelling. No plague. That's the name. That sentence is the name of God. If you must discuss Ebola, this is how you start. As a Christian, it's rumors. You know, the Bible said that there will be rumors of things like this. Rumor doesn't mean it's a lie. It just means you are hearing of it. You understand? Yes, and that we know that despite these things, our God is still good. In the midst of affliction, he will keep us. You start describing the God who kept Israel in the midst of plagues in Egypt. That over in Goshen, there was no Ebola. Like my friend that I called, I said, how is it? He said, we have drawn a bloodline. Ebola knows where not to cross. Do you understand? That is how Christians respond. Not, have you washed your hand? You bathed this morning? The man who greeted you that day, do you know where he went? I'm just warning you, listen, no matter how much God loves you, if you give in to fear, you sink. Did you hear what I said? No matter how much he loves you, you give in to fear, you sink. That was what happened to Peter. You know the story of Peter. And that's why I'm talking like this. You, child of God, must not give in to fear. I said, life is a battle of words. The way you handle it is not, hey, what if I don't have too much faith? Don't worry about it, too much faith. The little faith you have. He said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you shall not keep quiet. You shall say to the mountain. Are you getting my point? So that little faith, use it to say. The problem with people is that their faith does not say anything. They try to be nice. They want to be politically correct. Let people not say that I'm a fanatic. Say whatever you want to say. I will leave you with that. You that's calling me a fanatic. What about Ebola? I said, you know, the Bible talks about the testimonies. He said, because they did not consider the testimonies. That was the reason why the disciples did not understand the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You describe to them, I've considered the testimonies of people like John G. Lake. No, John G. Lake was, you know, if you notice, I said something some time ago. I didn't even know Ebola was coming. I've been saying that people think that you have handled it. I said, when another plague wants to come, you'll be afraid. I've been saying that thing for a long time. That the world thinks that they've handled HIV. You've heard the joke now about Ebola and HIV. A man was sick. When the family found out it was HIV, they said, praise God, it's only HIV. They were phoning each other, have you heard? Uncle sickness is not Ebola, it's only HIV. Are you serious? Pray! People now desire HIV. Why? Because a worse thing. But it's not new. This is just confirm the word of God. That's what they do. They just confirm the word of God. years ago, smallpox was killing people. The world said, yes, we've tackled smallpox. And they were happy. In case you do not know, there are two reasons you tackle smallpox or anything like it. One, because, one very important reason, because the sufferings of the people, all right, caused them to cry to God. And God is very merciful. And he looked down upon their cries and he releases wisdom to solve the problem. That's one. Secondly, from day one, God sets a time limit for some things. He tells David, 3 days in my hands. And listen to me, at the end of the third day, what will have happened, all right, is that some of you just have an idea. Let's do this if you stop. And they will do it if you stop. They will not give the name of the Lord to a vain thing. When people did not understand, I said, look, another day will come. Now, I'm going somewhere. Before smallpox that time, there was plague. Plague was really a plague. You understand? There are diseases that are like that are plagues. Plague was a plague. It used to wipe out half of a community in 1 month. A man will travel, say, I'll be back at the end of the month. A month later, he comes back, half of the village is dead. And our brother in the faith, John Gillick, will stay in the midst of that and be ministering to the sick. And they'll be wondering, are you not afraid? He said, of what? Of this infecting? He said, no, it can't. My body is wired to my brain. And my brain is connected to my spirit. And my spirit is connected to God. And from God, through this circuit, the life of God flows through. And nothing, no plague can stay on that skin and live. And he will literally put his hands to those things. They will test and the things will die. It was not a lie. It was true. So we consider such testimonies. So when somebody says that Ebola is coming, say, where? Don't worry. The same God that who in his word said, no evil shall befall you and no plague will come near your dwelling place is on our side. Our lives are hid with Christ in that God. Death is not an accident. Death is a spirit. And he knows where the line of the blood of Jesus has been drawn and it will not cross. No, listen, anytime you watch news, you read newspapers, and they tell you things, repeat these words. If you look into the heavens, listen, I was reading it yesterday night, or the night before, about the story of that plague, because that caused me to study, that came into Israel. The Bible says that the children of that man, Onan, they looked up, they saw the angels, they ran away. The thing was a disease all over the society. But there was one angel that had a sword in his hand drawn, and that was what was causing it. This thing is a spirit. Stop thinking it's just you didn't wash your hand, you didn't wash your shirt. The Bible says that this enemy goes around looking for whom he may devour. Listen, when God's indignation is released, that Satan takes a hold of that indignation and goes around looking for whom to devour. God released indignation in Egypt, but that spirit was careful. Don't cross into Goshen. You are getting my point? These are the things you declare concerning your God. Stop sitting down and say, hey, I hear it's very deadly. Now, wow, what are we going to do? And these useless doctors are on strike. For what? Yeah, sack them. What nonsense? And the spirits are looking. Everybody's afraid. Listen, you are the salt of the earth. Amen. You must not be afraid. When you hear the news, magnify the Lord. Magnify him. Magnify him. Magnify him. Magnify him. Call upon his name. It is those who call upon the name of the Lord that will be saved. It is not those who desire salvation. It is not those who have sown the powerful seed towards their deliverance. Those who will be saved are those who called upon the name of the Lord. And my emphasis in all these teachings is to let people understand
that the name of God is not Jehovah, you know, Megedishki or, you know, Susugamushi or, you know, Susuk. No. The name of God is, I've given you one already. The God who said in his word that no evil will befall me and no plague will come near my dwelling. The God who drew a line for the spirit of vengeance that was in Egypt and therefore it couldn't cross over. The God who recognized the blood, you know, that's the name of God. You magnify that name. You know, okay, I said we should open somewhere. Chapter 16. You notice something there? This is around verse 13. Somebody sent this to me and I read it. It was very beautiful. In fact, New King James gives it, no, it hyphenates about 6 words there in verse 13. Hagar was speaking. Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. If you have a New King James, it puts like this. You are the God who sees. New King James hyphenates it. Joins into one single word. That's how it is. That is, no matter the trouble you are in, it's not just, God, help me now, help me now. No. You know, some people know they'll be abusing God. Where were you when this was happening? Where were you when I had my troubles? Where were you? That's a question. You're not calling upon the name of the Lord. Hey, God, I thought of something here. As such times you look and say, you are the God who sees. That's the name. The God who sees. The God who's aware of my issues. Are you getting my point? That is how to call upon the name of the Lord. It's another one I said, look, we should read this one. It's very, 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 very important. Psalm 18. I like this because there are so many things there. So many things to see concerning the character, the glory of the Lord. And from these things, you see his name. Psalm 18. Let me read the New American Standard Bible. It said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. That's the first thing there. That is the name of God. O Lord, my strength. That's the name. That is, no matter what it is that comes towards me in life, it looks like I can't handle. This is how you overcome. Call upon the name of the Lord. Are you getting my point? How do you call upon him? It's simple. O Lord, my strength. When you say my strength, you know, your mind has left your muscles. Your mind has left your own capabilities. Your mind has left your own resources. You are drawing upon the resources of heaven. I hope you are getting my point. That is what Christianity is about. It's about calling upon the name of the Lord. Here he said, oh Lord, my strength. Look at verse 2. Another name of God. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. How many names do we have there? 3. My rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. Please let me explain something to you. When David was saying this, that rock thing, he had a practical meaning for him. And at least easily we understand my fortress. That is my walled city. A place you hide in and you are defended from the onslaught of the enemies. And my deliverer. That's easy to understand. He said, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. Let me say to you again, in whom I take refuge is also a name. Are you getting my point? He said, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. He said, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. When I call upon him, what happened? I like my New American Standard here, the way it says it. I call upon the name. He said, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. I like the way he said it. I call upon him, and I am saved. Now, notice something. How did he call upon the name? He simply declared, God is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, God in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation,
When I shout that, my enemies, they are defeated. You know what we do a lot of times in today's Christianity? This is what I'm correcting. We focus on my enemies. I don't know whether I get the point. You see, David did not focus on the enemies. What we do is, where are they? The enemies are at junctions. They are not sleeping. The enemies are currently offering, you know, we focus. All the enemies die. All the enemies die. And you've noticed that they don't die. They don't die. Why? That's not what kills them. What kills enemies is when the man, when the woman calls upon the name of the Lord, not when you start shooting arrows at the enemies. You know, there are some occultic, you know, occultic now. I don't mean the good sense. You know, we have our good occult. Amen. If you're a member of the good cult, say amen.
Amen.
I love you. I'm happy. You know what it means to be in the good cult. The highest cult is the cult of Christ. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
There we drink blood. If you're a blood drinker here, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. We drink the blood of Jesus Christ. And we eat his flesh. Some witches say they are eating flesh. We know how we're eating flesh before they were born. Amen?
Amen.
Uh-huh. Now, there are some funny worldly occultic practices that Christians get involved in. Shooting arrows at their enemies. That's not Christianity. Come on, leave this witchcraft alone and come into the real thing. Do you understand my point? And you know the truth? People love it. People love it. They love to shoot arrows. It makes them feel like, they say, warfare. Warfare. That's not warfare. That's a joke. You get my point? It's not warfare. You wake up at night, say that 2 a.m., let's start firing the arrow. All my enemies, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. It's a joke. It's a way to lose weight. You know, when you go, you know, listen, I'm not joking. There are different forms of aerobics. There are different forms of aerobics. That's church aerobics. Try it. Just go home. Do this like 50 times. Your arms go ache. Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. Like I say all the time, listen, Holy Ghost fire does not fire on enemies. Where does he fire? Upon the child of God. Holy Ghost fire upon you.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
Holy Ghost fire upon me.
Amen.
If I have Holy Ghost fire, you'll be blessed next time you come. You don't know that? And you are filled with the Holy Ghost fire, I will speak the word of God with boldness. That's why I need to pray all the time. Holy Ghost fire, fall on me. But Christians get up. How did they do? They direct fire at their enemies. And it does not work. It's a joke. It's a fat joke. It's more than, you know, you tune Christian TV. You just say, okay, sow a seed to destroy your enemies. It's a joke. I mean that literally. It's a joke. How did David destroy his enemies? Look at verse 6. Let us continue from verse 4. The cause of death encompassed me. And the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The curse of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured, and coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. You can read the rest later of what God did. My emphasis is, how did David contact that? How did he cry to God for help? Look at verses 1. To 3, he just got up and said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. No, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. He said, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Please, I'm emphasizing something to us here. Sometimes in life, you know, Christians, you know, I told you before, and I always like to add this one, just to help people. When you want to know a prophet that is confused, he tries to decipher who's the cause of your problems. If anybody tries that for you, just get up and leave. Number one, that's not good to say like that. 9 out of 10 is not good, right? Let me say the one that's more accurate. 999 times out of 1,000. They are wrong. One time out of 1,000, they accurately, because you actually have human enemies. You understand my point? Yes, you actually have. You know, people say that using their enemies, they are enemies. I'm just saying that I don't focus on them. When I focus on God, if you're a real enemy, you are destroyed. That's what I'm just saying. One time in 1,000, they may actually be able to identify the real human enemy. But at the end of the day, this is how you know truth, whether it is real truth or fake truth. What's the prescription? Okay, you say it's my uncle. Let us assume it's really my uncle. My uncle says that I will not make progress. This is my business will not do well. Why he will say that, I don't know. But let us assume it happens because it's demon possessed. All right, that's the reason. Then what should I do? I'll go to his house and knock. Uncle, they have exposed you. Let's be honest. If he really had the power, he would kill you that night. No, think about it. Think about it. If he really had the power, what will he do? He will end you that night. Uncle, they have... Went to church, you go to your uncle's house. This is how you know people who have been tormented, thinking they have been delivered. You go to your uncle's house, take a drink. No. Why don't you want to drink something? I'm not thirsty. All right. Maybe you like some fruit? No. Why not? I'm a vegetarian. I mean, I knew vegetarian was wrong. I just didn't know what else to say. Okay, I'm a meatarian. All right. I'm a meatarian. I don't eat vegetables. Okay, let them get you some suya. No. Why? They said Ebola virus, we should not eat anything that is roasted. Why? Because somebody went and pointed fingers at your uncle. I'm saying to you again, it is a fat lie. 1,999 out of 1,000 times, they are totally off tangent. Off, they are totally off course. They are totally wrong. Even when they appear to be right, it's still the same thing. The solution is wrong. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. True prophets, they never do that. True visions don't come like that. The reason is because it's still relevant to Jesus Christ, who made the man blind. If you can heal him, heal him. Do you understand my point? Who sinned that this one should be born blind? What difference does it make to you, Peter? Okay, it's his grandfather. Go and wake him from the grave to come and make a sacrifice for the sin. Can you do that? No. And that was what Jesus was trying to emphasize. In the same manner, we Christians, we don't care. We don't care who the enemy is. You enter into the office, they tell you that some people, they are competing for this seat. You don't know. You have to fortify yourself. The only fortification you need is this psalm right here. Psalm 18. Just go there. When you go to work in the morning and greet everybody, shake their hands vigorously. Mr. Jale Koko, how are you? God is good. How is today? It is well with you. In this place where we are walking, God, who is my strength? God, who is my fortress? He will cause us to prosper. If it's a real witch that's afflicting you, the man will fall sick there. As you are saying it, he starts having palpitations. By the end of the week, his kidneys will fail. Then he will repent and say, sir, where's your church? Don't worry, he's not going to die. Most of your enemies will not die. They will follow you to church. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
You don't need all this one of looking for who's... I know I'm talking to somebody now. In fact, two people came to my mind. Somebody has been telling you that be careful, though. When you go out, you know, some people tell you that you don't know who's who. Question is, I don't know who's who. Do you know who's who? No, I don't care who's who. I only know who is God. Are you getting my point? I don't know who is who. I don't care. Say, hey, stop saying things. People will hear if they hear. God. I will give you something straight. If you go to a church where this is what they do, listen, if you want to prosper in life, get out. I'm not kidding about that. I don't care where you go to. You understand? As long as you don't go to a mosque. You know, really. I don't, you know. But I would rather you go to a mosque. It sounds funny, and I can prove it to you. I just don't have the time. Then go to a church where they are warning you against your enemies, your neighbors. Hey, don't let them know.
If they hear you want to prosper now, they will just do something. And this is your God that can't protect you. You know your God has no power. You know, he can only bless you when your enemies are not aware. Psalm 23 does not work again, no? Because God no longer sets a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He can only set a table behind your enemies, so your enemies must not know. Because your God has become that important, what you will do is to hide from your enemies. Don't tell anybody. Some will now say, you see, Joseph told his brother, I saw what happened. I don't know why people don't see what happened. Didn't you see what happened to Joseph? He became prime minister in Egypt. What you say? You saw what happened? Yes, I saw what happened. He became prime minister. You know, in Nigeria, when women are pregnant, nobody knows them, so that the witch will not possess the child. But they come and announce on television. We went to last week to the clinic. My wife is now 7 days pregnant. Hey, that is, they are not afraid of anybody. Even if a pregnant woman goes to the market, somebody touches his stomach, and she gets fever that day. Hey, why did I go to market? Why did I go to market? Why did I go to market? Why? God, Holy Ghost fire against that woman. That was... You are not a Christian. Please, some things are not befitting of Christianity. I'm traveling, I will tell anybody. I don't care. Oh, next week I'm going to America. Yeah, after that I'll go to Scotland. From there I'm going to come back to Nigeria and then we'll settle down and bless the name of the Lord. You say you're a witch that can talk buka. Go and wait. Go and wait there. If you are not toppled, you are not a witch. Yes, go and wait there. You know, I told you my joke the other day, which really happened. Bat entered my bedroom. My wife said, oh God, baby, I love you. Eh? You know, I like the way she said it. Oh, you know, she was lying down on the bed. Just said, oh, see bat. Do you understand? Very calmly. Oh, see bat. I said, where? Oh, you just entered that wardrobe. Are you serious? That is, if not some people. Ah, husband, see bat. Ah, hey, in Jesus' name. No, not yet. Fear. My wife just said, see bat. I said, where is he? Has entered the wardrobe. I said, okay. Bishop and his wife, they are downstairs. We'll handle the bat and we'll come back. I closed the wardrobe and locked the door. So, bat, wait here. I have visitors. And when we finished, we came back. Open the basket, open the door. The bat came out. I trapped into the basket. I gave my cousin. I said, go help me throw it away. Is it not a witch? No, it's a bat. It missed its way. It's a bat. It's not a witch. How do you know it's not a witch? Witches don't cross my fence. That's how I'm so sure. You see, you cross that fence, you ain't dead yet. You're not possessed. You are not possessed. No, you are not possessed. You are a creature. Adam gave you a name in the wilderness. You in the garden. No. You are not a witch. If indeed you were a witch, your feathers will drop on my fence. That's a matter of fact. Listen to me. How do we become saved Christians? We don't magnify the name or the works of our enemies. No, we don't. We don't do that. It's irrelevant. I wake up every day and declare, God is my rock, my fortress, my refuge, my high tower. That's why I'm calling upon his name. In the midst of everything, I declare the name of God. Listen, if they dash to 1 billion naira today, never look at that money as anything. When you still wake up in the morning, say, God is my supplier. God is the one who gives me food. This money may be the hand of God, but it's not God. I will not make an image of money. Paul said, I have learned how to abound and how to abase. I have plenty cash, God is still God. I have little cash, God is still God. When he wants to supply my needs, sometimes he uses cash. Other times he does not use cash. He does not use cash sometimes. Whatever it is in life, I am always acknowledging God in all my ways. I acknowledge God in all my ways. If I'm disappointed, I magnify the name of the Lord. Yes. If I'm disappointed, I magnify the name of God.
I always say it, you're a businessman. They say, hey, if you had come on time, this business will have come to you. You'll say, no, 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 no. The business that is mine was sent by my God. It will wait for me. That way you are not angry with anybody. Whatever it is in life, I magnify the name of my God. I do. And that's what we must do as Christians. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. He now said, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first of all thy produce. I was emphasizing something here that you discover that what he was trying to say there, rather than to harassing ourselves about money, God was trying to say, listen, make sure I am acknowledged all the time. And if I am acknowledged, look at what will happen. He says, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Remember our scripture the other time? What do you store in barns? Who can tell me? What do you store in barns? Grain. Thank you. That is basic necessities. What is new wine? It's a sign of what? Luxury. God says, if you acknowledge me at all times, I will fill you with the basic necessities of life, and I will fill your life with luxury. Listen, and I mean that literally. One day, let me close. One day, this is something when I say it, but believe it. One day you buy a private jet and just park it to fly once in a while. Say, why? I don't know. I just felt like buying it. Why? It's called your vat overflowing with what? New wine. I heard the reference say that thing. I was, He said new oil and new wine refer to luxuries. That God, Isaac said, I have sustained Jacob with grain and with new wine. And God says, if you acknowledge me in all your ways, don't ever look at your certificate and think that's the reason you are going to go far in life. You are giving the name of the Lord to a vain thing. A certificate is a vain thing. Because if you acknowledge me in all your ways, listen, I will fill your barns and then make sure your vat overflows. I will make sure that no basic necessity is lacking in your life. And if you blink in the direction of luxury, I pour it to you. What I've said is not a joke. God is not afraid to give you anything. He's not afraid. He's not work. What he's saying is this. Will you acknowledge me in all your ways? God is not saying, look for money and come and quickly give it to me. This is my first month's salary. This is my first year's salary. He's not looking for money. He's not looking for money. What he's looking for is that when you come to him, you say, Lord, if anything comes into my hands, I know you sent it. Not because my father is connected. Not because I'm smart. Not because I'm beautiful. Not because I'm so eloquent when I talk. He said, no, in all your ways, what do? Acknowledge him. He will fill your barns with grain. He will fill your barns with food. And he will fill your vats with new wine. If you believe that, say amen. That's what it means. So God bears all kinds of names. Let me close. I like one that I wrote here, which is so beautiful. Don't open it because of time. He said, Psalm 35. He said, let the Lord be praised who delights in the prosperity of his servant. That's the name. That is the name. That is a name. That is a name. Well, let us stop. Can I just bow down and just begin to give the Lord thanks and begin to call upon his name? Listen, sometimes you are in trouble, you don't know it. But because you have made calling God a habit, sometimes you are in trouble, you don't know it too. But you have made calling upon his name a habit. Therefore, he constantly delivers you. Therefore, he constantly delivers you. Just call upon. Let's rise to our feet quickly. Let's just rise to our feet. Open your Bibles to that Psalm 18. Just open your Bibles and look into your own Bible. Let's just do this together and then we'll pray for a minute and then I'm out of here. Verse 2. Everybody say after me, the Lord is my rock,
the Lord is my rock
and my fortress.
And my deliverer,
my God,
my rock,
in whom I take refuge.
He's my shield
and the horn of my salvation,
my stronghold.
stronghold. Say it again. My stronghold.
My stronghold.
My help.
My help.
My rock.
My rock.
My fortress.
My fortress.
And my deliverer.
And my deliverer.
My strength.
My strength.
In him I take refuge.
In him I take refuge.
He's my supplier.
He's my supplier.
He's my keeper.
He's my keeper.
Say, the Lord is my keeper.
The Lord is my keeper.
At my right hand.
At my right hand.
Say, because of him,
because of
the sun will not smite me by day.
Not the moon by night.
Say, the Lord protects me from all evil. He's my protector.
He's
my help.
He's
my defense. Say,
he's my life.
He's my everything.
And he's my father.
That is very important. Many people think God is a computer. God is not a computer. You know what he is? He's a father. You know what a father is? A father thinks. He checks your skin. Are you warm? What's going on? Have you eaten? Have you not eaten? He can read your motives. He sees he's not a computer. Who, except you put in 200 naira, he can't give you 20,000. That's not God. That's a computer. Say it again. God is my father.
God is my father.
Say, my father.
My father.
My father.
My father.
Can we just do something? Just shut your eyes and think about any issue that may be bothering you this evening. And there is a name. The Holy Spirit will let you know right away the name that God bears in the midst of that affliction. Now just begin to call that name. Just begin to call that name. We are not praying about anything. No. We are not saying, Lord, please, my leg that is in, please, heal, heal, leg, I speak to you. No, no, no. You're just saying, my healer, my deliverer, the one who took away my infirmities. You're just calling, you're magnifying him. You're magnifying. Remember, it is what you magnify that controls your life. Many people magnify their troubles. They claim they are looking for prayers, though, but actually magnifying their troubles. That's what they do all the time. And the trouble never goes away. Come on, magnify God this evening. Magnify God. David said, magnify the Lord with me. Let us praise his name together. Please magnify him. Think about it. Think about it. There's something, and the Holy Spirit right away, based on what we have discussed this evening, will let you know precisely what the name of the Lord is in that situation. Remember, it is those who call upon his name that is saved. Lord, we thank you because of the beauty of your name. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.